A ditch, agus fáilteoireoid ag podchéilí Bite Size Irish. Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Irish podcast. Is mise Níl O'Shiel. Today we're going back into the archives to hear a live Q&A that my colleagues Owen and Ben recorded almost a year ago on the topic of how and where to use your Irish when travelling in Ireland. I'm sure some of you will be here on holiday this summer, so it's as good a time as any to think about your options, where you can go, how you can find an opportunity to practice and further your Irish. Being a live question and answer session, they also had a few off-topic questions to field, so you'll be hearing those too. But the main reason they were talking about this is because at that point we had just launched a mini course entitled A Trip Around Ireland. This course is available at Foundations level membership and upwards. And what you get in it is a few interesting facts about every county in Ireland with recordings of a few keywords as Gaelic. So it's a really good one to dip into if you're toying with the idea of studying Irish, whether for the first time or indeed returning to the language. It's not intense study. It's really interesting tidbits of knowledge with a few choice words in Irish as well. To get access to this course, A Trip Around Ireland, and many more, as well as Pubble, our online community, and our various live sessions, I would recommend going to offer.irish to avail of the podcast listener only discount of 10% of monthly or annual membership. That's offer.irish for your discount on Bite Size Irish membership. Let's go over to that conversation now. And Ben is just talking about practicing some of the basics before you visit the Gaeltacht and how that will help you out a lot.
What I find myself is if I go to another country, it's one thing to know what something should sound like, but if you're not actually comfortable with saying it, if you haven't given yourself a little bit of opportunity to practice, then you feel reluctant to say it, or there may be one way to say it, which is the way the tourists say it. You may know that there's a more kind of idiomatic way of saying it, but if you're not comfortable that you've got it right, you're not going to do it. So it's good to give yourself that opportunity to practice just the basics and get comfortable with them so that you feel you can at least just say Conestantu or Gurmagut or whatever it happens to be comfortable with that much, rather than feeling like you're only kind of halfway there or it's not quite right. So yeah, it is only the basics, but it's nice to be comfortable with them before you give it an attempt. Yeah. Lovely. So thanks for telling us about that. Let's return to this month's topic, which is a trip around Ireland. We've had some questions in advance. So we may start. This is one that you looked at, Owen. This is from Barra. So I'll just put this up on the screen. So Barra says, as an Irish emigrant who's returning to Galway City from living abroad for the past 6 years or so, I was wondering what tips you all might have to get out there and learn it Irish properly. So what do you reckon on?
Well, as I thought about this, Barra has a lot going for him. So I presume grew up in Ireland. I presume he had Irish at school. So that might be a lot more than a lot of people who are watching this already. I'm kind of careful to say, if you're watching this, don't compare yourself too directly to that, because you are at your own stage, and if you didn't have the Irish language at school, that's not your fault. So you start from where you are. So Barra presumably had Irish at school, and a lot of people, if they even live in Ireland and they're coming back to the Irish language, they feel like they're being pulled back into the Irish language and culture. There can be like a sense of regret for not learning more Irish at school earlier in life. What can you do? Another strong point here is Bara is here, asking questions, connecting with us. So obviously, it's a real curiosity or motivation. And Ben, I'm sure you get that, say, with bite-sized bio sessions. People are really motivated, and it's motivation from the heart, learning the Irish language. So Bara has that going for him. And Galway City, it's not a Gaeltacht, but it's certainly somewhere where you get exposed to the Irish language more than many of the cities in Ireland. Let's compare Limerick, where I live, where I'm based normally. Galway has a stronger connection to the Irish language, and there's the Gaeltacht, the vibrant Gaeltacht areas further west from Galway City. So those are all the advantages, all the pluses. And so Barr's been away for 6 years and looking how to learn it properly. Yeah, I mean, Ben, you might have a different approach. What I'd say is have fun and maybe try to achieve Gaeilge gach blath, our motto at Bite Size Irish. How can you expose yourself to the Irish language in little bits every day? Because if it's part of your everyday life, it's not something kind of alien. It's part of who you are, and it becomes your identity. So you're not just learning once a week. It's part of who you are. So maybe that's not very actionable, Bara, but I would take a step back like that and just see all the pluses you have on your Irish language journey already. So Ben, I don't know, would you want to add more to that or go on to the next?
Well, I suppose on a practical level, to add to that, Galway, there is plenty of Irish in Galway. The thing about Irish is it can be a little bit difficult to find, and we'll probably get on to that later on, but you'll certainly find it in Orson Gael on Shaw Dominic, on Dominic Street. So that's Conan O'Gaeilge. So if you go to their website, they have, you know, Curricle Coro and various different activities taking place on a weekly basis. I'm sure if you want to do classroom classes, they'll have classes at various different levels as well. So that's a good place to start. There's a lot of traditional Irish music in Galway, and where you have people playing and listening to traditional Irish music, you generally have Irish speakers as well. Again, you might not know it unless you engage with them. But if you were to go to a place like the Crane Bar, or if you're to go to Ticoli, on Shop Street, if you get chatting with people, some of them probably are interested in Irish and speak Irish, and you may hear people singing in Irish as well. So that's another way to find people too. If you're associated with the university, there are plenty of associations. I can come and draw Miachta, and Come and Crack was one that was there when I was in college. And it was simply about having crack os gaeilge. That's all there was to it. So that was pretty good. But yeah, there's plenty of it around. You only have to go out the road and you're in Barna. You know, the Gaeltachts get more Gaelic, let's say, the further west you go. Knocknacara, Knocknacarach is, I think, still officially a Gaeltacht, but you won't find that much there. But the further west you go, the more you'll find. But the city, yeah, it has a fair bit of Irish in it as well. Yeah, so that would be my advice in terms of Galway.
Do you have actionable advice now, Ben?
Yeah. Thank you. We'll have a look at the second question. So the second question is from Carol. This is a good one. So Carol says, in general, are Irish speakers in Ireland delighted or annoyed when random tourists try to speak to them in Irish? That's a very difficult question to answer, Carol, because it doesn't happen a lot. This is the thing. It's very unusual for a random tourist to speak Irish to you, because the context doesn't really arise. It's a funny thing. I worked for a couple of years as a student in a cafe in Galway City called Banana Foblucht, run by a Dutchman, Alex Hymans, who studied Celtic languages and became a writer and a journalist and a broadcaster over here. And he set up this cafe where almost everybody on the team spoke Irish, and at any given time there was always somebody who spoke fluent Irish working behind the counter. And I never really randomly had a tourist come up and speak Irish to me, even in that context where it was obvious that it was a possibility. I did have Irish people who didn't normally speak Irish maybe speak Irish to me and that sort of thing. So I suppose the answer is, if you have the good fortune to find somebody, to identify somebody who's an Irish speaker and you speak Irish to them, then I think they'd be delighted. They might initially be a little bit confused, because they wouldn't be expecting it necessarily. And the other thing is, they might find you difficult to understand depending on what your level of Irish is. And there may be issues with dialect as well. If you go to deepest, darkest, whatever Gaeltacht, and you speak Irish, then an older person may have a little bit of difficulty understanding you. So initially they may draw a blank and you may have to try again. But in terms of how they feel about it, I think they would be delighted. Yeah. Don't know what you think about that, Owen.
Yeah, and this might come up again in later questions. Like, the person serving you, even in the web depths, might not even be Irish or might not have grown up in Ireland. You know, I've seen that. There was Ferrum Kinsleibhle, where I used to stay. It was a B&B along the Dingle Peninsula. And when we stopped for coffee the last time a year or two ago, it wasn't an Irish person anyway. I don't remember which country they were from, but like, they were there because they loved the area. But they didn't speak Irish as far as I know. You know, so yeah, it's like, how can you do it without putting too much expectation on the person, maybe?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, there's a journalist from Dúnchain, Dóid Morga, who wrote an interesting article about Irish in Dingle Town, and whether or not it was there, whether or not you could access it, because somebody had written a letter to the Cork Examiner saying, I was in Dingle, nobody would speak Irish to me. And Dóid Morga pointed out that, you know, you could get up in the morning and you could do everything you need to do in Undangan, Oscailge. And he has a funny line in it where he says, even if I only drank half a pint in each pub where I can order Oscailge in Dingle, I wouldn't be sober on my way home. But this is different because he's an Irish speaker. He knows where to go. Everybody knows that he's an Irish speaker. Do you see? So yeah. I could give you a list of businesses in Dingle where I know that or Undangan, I should say, where I know that the proprietor speaks Irish, but their staff may not necessarily speak Irish. So that's a difficult thing. And you will also have experiences like, you know, I know that there are supermarkets where I can go and speak Irish, but it depends on who's working behind the counter. But for instance, if I go to Ifigha Fuisht, the post office, I've had an experience where I can talk Irish to the person behind the counter. They will understand and talk English to me, and I will reply in Irish, and they will talk in English, and I will get my business done, and they will understand, but they're not talking Irish to me, despite the fact that they have a sign saying, Sveitar Gael and Lairt and so, or whatever it is, Lairt Gael, and so, speak Irish here. Equally, I've gone there and just had the whole exchange through Irish with a different person, you know? So some people understand and don't speak back. But the main thing really is being able to identify the people you do. That's the challenge, you know. So if you go to John Benny's on Strand Street, John Benny speaks Irish. If you go to Flaherty speaks Irish. If you go to on Cafe Litreha, Saoirse O'Luaise speaks Irish. But they may not be there on a given day. And there's an issue in Undangan and the general West Carcarina where there is nowhere for the service staff to stay in the summertime. And people are commuting from Tralee to go to work in Dingle for the day and back again. And most of them don't speak Irish. They're not from the area. And so that's a difficulty. Murphy's Ice Cream, that's another one where you'll get people who speak Irish. I'm not wanting to make any promises. But you know, it certainly is an issue to identify. And if you go west, again, it's like English is the language of commerce, do you know, and it has been for a long time. So even in the Gaeltacht, you'll have businesses like guest houses and pubs and shops that are run by people who are enterprising, and they don't feel that it's their obligation to provide a service through Irish. So it may be kind of half and half, really, hit and miss there as well. And again, the same issues apply with getting staff as well, and having people who speak through Irish is not top of the list, let's say, for most people. They're just trying to get things done. So this is it.
Maybe the underlying question here is like, should I try to speak Irish as a tourist in Ireland? And I think your original answer there, Ben, was like, do. And my approach, maybe it's a personality thing, but to try to do it without adding pressure to the situation. So what I would suggest is try a phrase or two. Like, for me, the least pressure phrase you can use in a shop is when you're leaving, you say slán, and they might say slán back to you. I hear it quite often, people on the phone, they're speaking in English, but they'll say slán to their friends. So you might get a reply or you might not, but they will understand. I think good chances they'll understand. And maybe slightly more pressure phrase, you can say, Gurumahagut. Thank you, Gurumahagut. And again, there's no pressure on the other person to reply back to you. So yeah, why not use your Irish there? I suppose I'm focusing in on the shop situation or the pub. But the question was more general, wasn't it? And I suppose then the question is, how do you find the Irish speakers?
Well, that's a whole other issue, because that's that we're getting on to then approaching, talking to strangers, let's say, which can be complicated enough regardless of the language, whether they speak the same languages as you or not. It's a sad thing to say or to admit, but Irish people can be quite funny about the Irish language, and just because they can speak it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll want to. Like, you know, like when I lived in Clare, there was a man who ran one of the local shops, and a friend of mine, a retired teacher who I spoke Irish to, said, you know, he speaks good Irish, speak Irish to him, he speaks good Irish. But when I went into him, he wasn't really that keen when I spoke to him in Irish, you know. Okay. He'd do it for that exchange, kind of reluctantly, and then the next time it'd be like, and it never happened, you know. I don't know why that was, you know. So in the end, you just kind of stop because you feel like you're pushing it on somebody. But then in another context, he did speak Irish to somebody else. So it's hard to know, like, how people are going to react. So anyway, Carol has a second question there. Gramagath, Carol, thanks for your question. She says, can you suggest a place in Dublin and or Galway where beginners would be welcome to drop in and speak a little Irish? So we already had Club Oris and the Gael in Galway. And as I was saying, pubs where there's traditional Irish music, you'll generally find people who have a bit of Irish as well. So that's Galway. And then in Dublin, again, in terms of being sure that somebody will speak to you and you'll find somebody, again, Club Hunra, Na Gaeilge, Club Hunra, Gaeilge, okay. So this is Conan na Gaeilge, by law Clia, and that's their email address there. And again, they have classes and courses and activities each week for different levels. So that's what I would recommend there. And of course, there's on Pop-Up Gaeltacht. This is just where through social media, Irish language speakers arrange to meet up in a particular place at a particular time to have fun as Gaeilge. That seems to, it's not organized by the people who set it up anymore, let's say. So anybody is free to hold a pop-up Gaeltacht event. And the best place to find those is on peg.ie rather than their old Facebook page, because it's gone kind of, it's open now. So they do happen around the country, and they happen abroad as well from time to time. So it's worth
Look. I would throw it in, if you can find a pop-up Gaeltacht, what a fantastic way to connect with people, because people are there out of interest. They've gone to the bother of going to the pop-up Gaeltacht. I've had great chats with people I've never met before at a couple of pop-up Gaeltacht. A really good suggestion.
Great stuff. So now you're a Clare man, Owen. We have a question here that relates to Clare from Maura. Maura says, where are the best places in Ireland to practice cúpla-focal, especially in Clare and Mayo? So na Gaeltacht, I suppose the Gaeltacht initially would be the best places, but and Dublin.
And Belfast, but okay, to stay within Clare, I suppose there's a difference, isn't there, between Clare and Mayo, in that Clare doesn't have an active Gaeltacht. Now, it used to, and we're talking decades ago, or maybe the remnants of it the last couple of decades, but there is no official Gaeltacht in Clare. And the language of, as you said, Ben, commerce and communication in Clare is essentially English. Having said that, like, as I was saying about Galway City, in places in Clare, and depending what town you're in as well, I think, the Irish language is quite strong. Like, I'll compare again Limerick City to Ennis, where I grew up. I tend to have a feeling that there's more Irish language ability and signage around Ennis, that's the main town in County Clare, compared to Limerick. Just that's a plus when you're visiting Clare. And the culture is strong in Clare, the musical culture is very strong in County Clare, the traditional music. So a great place to visit. But what I've read too, really, it's not something I've directly experienced, but around the areas of like Doolin and up along the coast in County Clare, would be good places to try to find, you know, locals who've got good, strong Irish. So I don't have any specific suggestions of businesses, say, in Clare to visit, but it's a good place to try. Ben, I think you have a suggestion, but for Mayo, I would say, look, there's a couple of official Gaeltacht areas in Mayo. I'm not personally very familiar with Mayo. I haven't spent much time there, only really passing through, so I won't talk from experience, but parts of Achill Island and then the top northwest of Mayo corner in the Atlantic, pointing out into the Atlantic, would be a Gaeltacht region. So, you know, go and seek it out for sure and use it. So broadcast that you've got some bits of Irish. So that's what I'd say. Ben, I don't know, have you any more specific advice to offer here?
I do a bit. I had a business, a little business at one stage, selling Irish language Christmas cards. And in doing that, I did a sort of a survey, an unofficial survey of Irish-speaking populations of Munster, let's say, because I was driving around to different places with my samples, going to different shops and saying, and in doing that, you get a good picture of how much there Irish there is in different places, because they're not going to buy them, and they'll say, "Oh, this," and you know, you get a sense of things, and there is a fair bit of Irish in Ennis. And anyway, through doing that, I was invited to bring my wares to Cercle Cainte, which was taking place in Glore at the time, the art centre in Ennis. So it moves around, it's still going on, and they're a very nice bunch of people, nice Irish there. Cool. So Cercle Cainte, various different places. So it looks there like it's happening 3-4 times a week in different venues, just in Ennis Town. And it's, if you go to the website there on Cloros Gaelica, it's taking place in places like Kilnaboy and Ennis Diamond as well, if you have a look around. So that's worth checking out. And then in terms of businesses, off the top of my head, I don't know loads, again, where you could be sure, but certainly the Cheese Press in Ennis Diamond is a lovely cafe run by Sinead Ní Gearmhí, and Sinead sometimes teaches Irish, and she's always more than happy to speak Irish to you. If she knows you speak Irish, she wouldn't have it any other way. She's really into languages in general, like she speaks a plethora of them. So yeah, if you go in there, she'd be happy to talk to you, tell her that Ben sent you. Okay. Grant, and then in terms of, we just had a message in here on the chat from S. Brana or Branach about Belfast. So they say, in Belfast, wonderful Madden's pub, lots of Irish, actually mostly Irish spoken, likely other places. That's an interesting thing about Belfast. It's very easy to find Irish language speakers in particular a part of Belfast. Yeah. Which is nice. It's like a kind of semi-Gaeltacht, urban Gaeltacht. Yeah, so that's nice. And they're very enthusiastic and happy to speak it as well. Lovely. So move on, Owen, to Kesht O Patricia, Gramagad Patricia. Let's see now. Yes, so Patricia, I would like to do an immersion course, Irish course, in a Gaeltacht and visit places in Ireland. Transport is always an issue unless you rent a car. So which immersive experience is most convenient to attend? So I was thinking about this, Patricia, and it's kind of a difficult one because by their nature, na Gaeltachtaí, or the Irish-speaking areas, are kind of peripheral. They're out of the way. There's a reason why they are. So getting there is the first thing, and then having transport when you're actually there. So I think getting there is a given. You find a way to get there. But in terms of having mobility, when you are there, and not being biased, but I would recommend the Gaeltacht in West Kerry, Kirkcaldhéna, because it has an excellent local link bus service. And the reason why it's so good is that it's peninsula. So the bus goes in a circular fashion around the west end of the peninsula. So you really can get anywhere you want and back again conveniently and inexpensively. You know, over the course of half a day, and spend a few hours wherever it is you want to be and go back. So that's where Iarracht Chorcaigheanna have their courses. Now, I don't know if there are really any truly immersive courses for adults. The closest thing you'll get to it, I think, is classroom-based courses that have kind of, outside the classroom, they have a cultural aspect to them. So that's what Iarracht Chorcaigheanna have. You can choose, you know, Irish language course that focuses on the singing of West Kerry or on dancing or on archaeology or whatever it is. So while in the classroom, you'll be doing the business of learning Irish, but then outside of that, you'll be doing the activity and it may be water sports or whatever. And you'll be doing that Oscaig as well. So that fills most of the day while it isn't entirely immersive, let's say. And they also have a little list of loisteen or accommodation where you can stay and where your guests or your hosts will speak Irish. So I would recommend that. I think, you know, looking at any of the other Gaeltachts, you're still looking at getting to the west and the northwest. And I have limited experience of how the public transport works in those places. So that's what I would recommend. So I just have some links there for you, Patricia. So Iarthar Gleanna, that's their website there. And then if you want to have a look at the local Link bus service, that's it there. You can find different timetables and that. But yeah, it really is, it's a gift. It's really a gift to the area, because young people and old people can get around and get to where they need to go to. And some, like I know one old woman who just got rid of her car. She didn't need it anymore. She gave it to her son and she just uses the local Link.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's good. And you.
Yeah, the local link is a good strong service. Like I've heard about it. There's a stretch between villages in County Limerick and where people had been, driving to pubs. The local link is the social connection now between those villages. So it's really interesting that those local bus services are getting stronger. And as far as I can tell, they're, operated by local people as well. I'd have to mention the Scéil as well, sorry, Ben, in Donegal, but it's, yeah, I've no idea about the transport to the Scéil without a car. So you might have to get a little bit creative and try to speak with the organizers and see if you can catch a lift or something. I don't know. But yeah, you might have to do that on IRIFT or indeed seek something out in one of the major towns or cities.
And interesting with the local link, that's not a bad way to find Irish speakers as well, because you sit in the bus, you will hear people speaking in Irish. In my experience, I've heard teenagers speaking in Irish on the bus on their own, unaccompanied, and I've heard the old ladies speaking in Irish as well. Yeah, so that's another way to find them. How you approach them then. You'll have to use your own shift in it, your own techniques. But yeah, you will hear people on the bus from Dúnchain to Dangan speaking Irish. Absolutely. Great. So question here from Lars, and my heart goes out to Lars because there was a very nice spell of weather in Ireland in May and start of June, but it's been pretty bad now the last while. It's been raining all day, every day for a while. So Lara says, I'm going to Belmullet in the Gaeltacht for 12 days and there's heavy rainfall predicted. What can I do there instead of hiking? I want to learn Irish. So that is a difficult one, Lars, because there isn't loads to do now out that way, other than outdoor pursuits. Other than, I mean, anything you might do indoors anywhere else, let's say, not things that are specific to the area. But I got on the phone this morning and I rang a fella called Declan in this place, Tonnua Surf School, which is just down at the end of Achill Island. And they do surf lessons, Oscailge, if you'd like to try that. I mean, if it's raining, you know, get into the sea. You don't have to be worried about getting any wetter. So you could give that a shot. If you want to try. So that's just about 15 kilometers from Balwearid or Belmullet there, Lars. And the other thing you could try, I suppose, is where you might find Irish speakers is the local GAA club as well. I don't know if they have a whole lot going on at this time of year, but if you want to get in touch with them and see if they have any games going on, there'll be a bit of shelter. And if anybody does speak Irish, then you'll hear them speaking Irish at that, or cursing in Irish at that, shouting encouragement. And so you can give that a shot. I don't know, Lars, if you're intending to sign up for any courses or anything like that while you're there. But you could give that a shot anyway. Get in touch with them. Any ideas there, Owen?
Well, it looks like there's a comment there. But you, heavy rain, it might not be heavy rain all day. There might be a couple of hours where it's not heavy rain, so you might still get to go on your hike. Or it might be just like a bit drizzly and, you know, you will be wet from the rain, but you'll dry off because it's summer. So there's, you know, there's levels of heavy rain.
Owen sounds like he's talking to his kids there. Rather than Lars.
You'll be grand. Just go out in the rain. It's only rain. You'll be fine. Okay, so yeah, there is a comment there. So from Johan. Gramagat Johan. So Johan says, Wednesday evening there's an open mic at the local theatre in Belmullet. So I don't know if that's performance theatre or just song or music or what, but yeah, sounds good. Gramagat Johan, great stuff.
Cool.
Grant, so moving on. So best of luck, Lars, agus Gramagat as the Hesht. T. Yeah, this is a funny one. Let me just do this one quickly. T says, I wish I'd seen more before my visit, my Ireland visit. Oh, well. In Gaeltacht, but so much English did okay. Yeah, fair enough. That's true. But what is cop on, says T. What's cop on? I never knew that one. So cop on can be used in two ways. We want to get technical with the grammar. It's used in the imperative or the ordering mood, and it's to tell somebody to stop behaving stupidly. You might say it to your kids. You might say, cop on, stop annoying your sister. When I was in school, the classic line, and this was only the teachers, would say, cop on to yourself, boy, or I'll beat the lard out of you. So cop on to yourself, or is another thing you'll hear. And then the second way really that it's used is when something dawns on you, a realization of something. So he drove for a mile, say, before he copped on to the fact that he had a flat tire. And it strikes me that in this context, it's very similar to cotton on that you'll hear in English. So that's cop on T, Gurmagat. Anything to add to that, Owen, before we move on?
Well, just for context, I think it would be good to clarify that we are talking about English-Irish, aren't we?
Yes.
So it is an English language phrase. Just in case people are watching and wondering, do I say cop on, Australia? Well, I'm sure they do in Connemara. But I also use it while I'm speaking Irish. I'm thinking back, I've used it in the past week. So there you go.
Be a cop on a gut. Is it?
Oh, it's not even that fancy, yeah, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is Hiberno English or whatever in the first sense. In the second one, I wonder if it's just cotton on, become cop on. Yeah. Interesting. Anesthesia was in touch and she was asking about how do you say Lord have mercy in Irish, and is there an old Irish variation? I don't know an old Irish variation, but how it is said and the context that you're asking is a hearna den chokre, a hearna den chokre, and you'll hear that in that hymn, that song. A hearna den chokre, a chrias den chokre. So that's that. Anesthesia, Gramagat. And this one, I'll give you this one, Owen. I know you've done a lot of, you've given all of this sort of thing a fair bit of consideration, I think, in terms of bite size and the different types of people who have an interest in Irish. So this is a very long question. This is a 3 or 4 part question. We'll start with the first part, Owen. Kristen says, Díiv, Gramagat Kristen. I was wondering if there is a specific name for a Gaelgor in the diaspora. For example, are there different names for, one, a person born in Ireland who grew up speaking Irish, two, a person born in Ireland who is actively learning Irish outside of school, three, a person who now lives in the diaspora, and four, a person who was born outside of Ireland who's becoming an Irish speaker like me. So over to you, Owen.
Well, to give the direct answer, like, no, I'm not familiar with any phrase that would distinguish these different groups of people. But I do think it's a great question, Kristen, and thanks. And I appreciate that there's a different context depending on your own background. So if you've like the beginner, intermediate, advanced classification that I mentioned before, you might have somebody and they call themselves beginner. They've grown up in Ireland and they've come back to the Irish language as an adult. And rightfully, they'll call themselves a beginner. Now, Kristen, I think you say you've grown up outside of Ireland and you're an Irish language learner as an adult. And let's just say you called yourself a beginner, and maybe rightfully so. Your level of Irish and your context, your background knowledge of the language itself and maybe the culture a bit around it is very different, and naturally so, to somebody who grew up in Ireland. So what I found historically maybe is the Irish language learning material that we had in Ireland was assuming that the person had Irish at school. It's just, it brings you up to a certain level where especially pronunciation then really jumps out as a topic that for people who have not learned Irish at school and are coming to the Irish language to learn later as an adult, it's something that we take for granted. Like a person who grew up in Ireland sees Gaeilge, they can read it and they'll say, oh yeah, Gaeilge or Gaeilge or however they might pronounce it, but they have a good sense of how to say it. But you might see a new word or a new phrase and have absolutely no idea of how you should be pronouncing those letters, those combinations. So there's like this implicit knowledge that we get learning Irish at school, even for somebody who feels like they didn't learn much Irish at school and they wish that they learned more Irish at school. So all I'd say apart from that is I have a huge respect for each of the groups. I mean, for somebody who's grown up in Ireland, feel like they lost that connection with the Irish language and they're making the effort so strong is to come back to the language and learn it. That's real life energy that you're pouring into improving your knowledge of the language and culture. And the same for somebody outside of Ireland who decided to learn the language, or an immigrant, somebody who emigrated from Ireland. And because they live abroad after a few years, they might feel that longing to find what's special about their own background again. And again, another category that Kristen mentioned, I think, people who've moved into Ireland and now that they want to speak the Irish language more, we get that at Bites as Irish. So my immense respect to each people, to each group, to people in each group, that you're following your curiosity, you're taking on something that's really challenging, like it's difficult. But it's definitely worthwhile. You're not wasting your time doing it. So to go back to the original question, no, we don't really have a good label for these categories. So Ben, I wonder what you think, but there are differences for sure in the background and the context of people who fall into these different categories.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a simple fact that we don't have different terms for all of these different categories. The term Gael Gore itself is something that I've always been a little bit unsure about in terms of what it actually means. Anyway, you know, I suppose it's not something I heard growing up. it's something that I heard mainly from non-Irish speakers referring to Irish speakers of different types. And for me, the way I understood it and the way I still feel about it, like if you look in the dictionary and folklore and Tonglen, Irish English, Gaelgeor, Irish speaker, meaning number one, meaning number two, learner of Irish. And for me, when I heard it used by English speakers, primarily from outside the Gaeltacht, I understood it as somebody who was enthusiastic about the Irish language, that it was a choice that you had made or an interest that you're following. And I don't think that you can apply that to somebody who grows up in the Gaeltacht with the reality that the Irish is just there and you learn it as you grow up. It's not a decision that you make. It's not some sort of cultural badge or whatever. It's just the reality of the place where you live. So that term Gaeilgeor, I find it hard to know what to do with it, really. Do you know? And if somebody says to me, "You're a Gaeilgeor, aren't you?" It's as though I've made some sort of decision to take this path, and that's not really the way it is. Do you know? And for some people,
I'm sorry, Ben, with the lag, but I think I definitely heard it more. In my context growing up, it was a phrase, you know, in Ennis, it's not a Gaeltacht area. I did go to Gaelic school, I was attending school through the Irish language. But I have a feeling that the phrase was used quite a bit, but I definitely agree with that, that it's the people who don't speak Irish so much would maybe label you as a Gaeilgeor, saying, "Oh, you're the person who speaks Irish, you're the Gaeilgeor." So kind of putting you in a box almost. But look, labels in that way are maybe a bit natural too, because for me as a Gaeilgeor, for them it jumped out because I was speaking Irish and they weren't. So yeah.
So, but anyway, certainly in the context of Kristen's question, no, we just have various different varieties of learners and people with an interest, I suppose. And who knows whether we should call them Gaeilgeori or not, I suppose, is the way I feel about it. We have a couple of questions here. There's one here that came in the comments. You were talking about pronunciation, and this is not something that I know anything about at all, Owen. I'm not familiar with it, but just on the off chance that you are, put it up there. Shukre, how accurate do you find on Linshuk's videos to be videos about original Irish pronunciations? Does this ring a bell?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with them. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry about that. That's grand. So in the absence of any more questions about this topic, there are just a couple that came in during the week as well that were more general, and these are things that are of interest to people. They're kind of evergreen questions, let's say. So Norma says, what's the best book for learning Irish grammar? And in my opinion, now this will depend on whether you speak a bit of Irish already or not. If you do, if you have a bit of Irish, but you need to study the grammar, as Gaeilge, then I would recommend Grammar Gan Stro by Eamon O'Donnell. It's a very clear and comprehensive book, very user-friendly, and it has exercises as well to help you to practice what you're learning. Then if you don't have enough Irish to use a grammar book that's in Irish, then there are two. And the first one is by the same man again, Eamon O'Donnell, and it's called Teach Yourself Irish Grammar. And then the second is Basic Irish by Nancy Stenson. So they're both good books if you're approaching it through the medium of English rather than Irish. Okay, anything to add to that, Owen, or do you concur?
No, I don't.
Grand. So then Jen and Emily both separately sent in essentially the same question, which is what is the difference between bovalum and ismalum? So Gurmaga, Jen and Emily. So simply, bovalum is the conditional mood. It means I would like. So you might say, oh, maybe we'll take ismalum first. So after that, so ismalum is the simple statement I like. So bovalum, I would like. Ismalum, I like or I do like. So you could use that to say ismalum prati, I like potatoes. But if you wanted to say I would like potatoes, you would use bova. You'd say bovalum prati. So I hope that that helps to clear that up for you, Jen and Emily. Gurmahagav. Oh, and of course, we did a cheat sheet on the conditional mood recently as well. So you'll find that and a lot more useful information in the cheat sheet. All our cheat sheets are free to download and entirely shareable as well. So if you like it, you can send it to your friend. Do whatever you like with it. It's totally free to use and share. So we have a variety of them on the Bite Size Irish blog there, but that's just the link to the one on the conditional mood, which is on Mo Cineálach. But it's worth signing up to our newsletter just to get updates on free shareable learning resources like that we produce on a fairly regular basis at this stage now. Yeah. So Gurmaga, Jen, agus Emily. Yeah, and then JW, getting back to the issue of immersive courses and the logistics of getting to them. JW Mulligan says, as I recall, the university in Donegal runs a 1 and 2 week summer program in language and culture. You fly into Dublin and they provide transport to the school. Okay, you live with the local family. That's interesting. Gurmila Mahogat JW. And then, excuse our ignorance, but S. Brana was saying Iddiscoil and Donegal seem to have immersion courses, including all ages. I don't have any direct knowledge of that myself. Have you anything to add to that, Owen?
Yeah, I don't know about the ages. Definitely adult-oriented Irish language courses. If it's a question about kids, I don't know. But I'd heartily recommend it as well. I've had interactions with them in Liam O'Quinnigan over the years. And definitely their heart is in the right place. And I've spoken to a lot of great Gaelic learners, Gaelic, who have traveled to Ireland or and I met them outside of Ireland, for example, in the States. And they had been to Iddiscoil. So you'll get the type of person who traveled to there are traveling for a very specific reason, and they're very motivated and probably quite knowledgeable, so great people to interact with. So yeah, do get in touch with them for sure, but definitely I'd recommend Iddiscoil as an immersion learning place.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of our more enthusiastic members at Bite Size who join me on the conversation role play practice call on Tuesdays, some of them have been to Iddiscoil and some of them have been there more than once, and the feedback is entirely positive. Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're interested in the Ulster dialect, as many people are. So, yeah, absolutely. We're nearing the end of our time now. We're going to have to wrap things up soon enough. Maybe one or two more questions here. I have one question here from Elizabeth, who is actually a Bite Size Grow member. So she's saying that she's stuck on writing and speaking in the past tense. So if I'm trying to speak about family members who have died or our ancestors from Ireland, how would I say that? Os Gaeilge. So There's no easy way to do this. The answer is simply that you need to study or to learn to form verbs in the past tense, Eilish or Elizabeth. And you do sometimes join us on the Grow calls, and one of our scripts, specifically Cora Shea, touches on talking about your Irish ancestors. So it'd be good to have a look at that one, and I can send you a message the next time that we're doing that one, remind you to join us. But yeah, it's just about getting to grip really with verbs in the past tense, which are, it's not too difficult. It's, the irregular ones can be a bit tricky, but other than that, it should be grand. Yeah. And then we've just one more question here from Colleen. One more question here from Colleen. And Colleen is asking about her name, Colleen. So the name version of Colleen, which is the word for, say, young girl. Can you tell me any of the history of how it became a name versus just a word for an unmarried young girl? She says, did it start out as a name and then become a word in the language, or vice versa? Do people use the name in Ireland, and is spelling it like Colleen acceptable for a name? So I don't know a whole lot about the history of how that happened, but I would speculate, due to the fact that it's not really a name that's used in Ireland a whole lot. It's more used in places where Irish descended communities are, like in America and Britain and Australia. Sometimes what happens there is a word from a language may become a name, and it's easier for that to happen because the rest of the people in that country don't understand it as a noun. They just understand it as an Irish name. So I think that happens with, I think it's happened with the word Cree for heart, for instance. Like, we have Crea more in America, and now it's kind of returning to Ireland a little bit because Conor McGregor called his daughter Crea. So these words kind of have a basis, or these names have a basis in the Irish language, but they don't, as far as I'm aware, have a history as given names or Christian names in Ireland, let's say. So I think if you were to use that, Colleen, with the original spelling, I think it would be unusual. And I think it may cause a bit of confusion, certainly in Ireland, if we're to use that. Reminds me kind of the scenario with my daughter, because we're in Portugal at the moment and my daughter's name is Ella. And in Portuguese, Ella means her or she, which means that the word is constantly coming up in conversation and she's constantly hearing it, and it's not necessarily her that they're speaking about. And then sometimes when she tells people what her name is, there's a misunderstanding. So it wouldn't be as extreme with a word like Colleen, but in the context of Ireland and the Irish language, spelling it like that would probably lead to a degree of confusion, I'd say. Do you have any input on that in terms of the name Colleen? Its origin?
No, I agree, Ben. I would be slow to use the original Irish language spelling of Colleen as a name. If I was going to use that name, I would use it in that anglicized version, Colleen, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that even in Ireland, if we're introduced to somebody and they're Colleen, we'll, I think, assume that anglicized version. And sure, there's most definitely some Colleens in Ireland. So it's not a black and white answer to be able to give. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I historically would speculate along the same lines as you did, Ben. Yeah.
And it strikes me even at this stage that, yeah, you do meet people with that name in Ireland, but they're not really called Colleen. They're called Colleen. So it's pronounced with that kind of flatter O sound in the name anyway.
The English language Colleen. Pronunciation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Gurmagat, Colleen, as the guest. Sorry that we don't have any more than that for you. And then Johan says again, in German, there's the name Frau. And in some areas, it means little woman.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And indeed, just to throw, sorry, Ben, just the little bit with Colleen, the diminutive is in there. So the I fa the n at the end of the word Colleen does denote, I suppose, the small, it's like it's a girl. So that's interesting because we see that diminutive patterns show up. Like when I was small, a couple, especially my teacher from on Spitzel from Connemara, from Galway, he'd call me Onin. So not just Owen, but Onin, little Owen. So I just wanted to call out that interesting pattern there, Ben, which might be interesting for people diving into learning the Irish language.
Absolutely. So the original word would be Kala, C-A-I-L-E. And that's where we get the Colleen from. There we have Kalach as well, like hag as well. So, yeah. Anava. And then we have Garchele as well, which is small kile. So that's used for not really politically correct term in English anymore. It's been somewhat debased, but wench. Which would be a young woman, not quite a Colleen, but maybe a woman in her early 20s or thereabouts, Garchle. But it's used for a girl as well. So, yeah, there you go. But the same root. Johan is asking there, is Oisín a form like that? I don't know. Yeah, you do have Roisín and Podrigine. It's also used for the female version of male names as Garodine for Garod, Podrigine for Podrig, that sort of thing.
Oh, I think I can help with that last question there. The name Oisín means little deer. More common word for deer is Fia, which itself has become a common name these days. But if you search for us, O-S, in the dictionary on changlan.ie, you will find that it means deer, as in the animal. Oisín was a character in Irish mythology, of course, and who was his own son but Oscar, a name that means deer lover. That's right, if you didn't know, you do now. Oscar is an old Irish name. I suppose it was Oscar Wilde who made it internationally famous, and I know there are a lot of Oscars in Latin America these days, so you'd be forgiven for not realising that this is an indigenous old Irish name. But it is. So why do Oisín and his son Oscar have this deer connection, I hear you ask? Well, that's something we go into in another bite-sized Irish course, Shulach Shkelach. This is a more intermediate level course, but as the title suggests, a lot of it has to do with stories, telling your own story, expressing yourself in Irish. So one of the features we have is a retelling of the story of Oisín in Tír na n-Óg, a classic of Irish mythology. And let's just say that the story of Oisín's birth has a very close deer connection. But you'll have to go to Shulach Shkelach to find out. So if you're not already a member, pop over to offer.irish to get discounted membership and access to all our fantastic Irish learning resources. You know what to do, go to offer.irish. Okay, I'll be talking to you again in a fortnight. Slán leat.